This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What, do you want me to talk about Patrick Mahomes more? Because I will. I'll do it. I'm crazy. I'll do it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm pretty sure that last time we had Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 on, I joked that we'd have him on the night of the presidential inauguration, but it was a joke just because Harold's only ever on this show when something is happening on a national level. And then this morning, I was trying to think of who I wanted to talk to this week to get ready for the AFC Championship game. And then, oh, we haven't had Harold on the last couple of weeks. Let's have Harold again. Oh, God. Oh, no, that's today, isn't it? And I said, well, Harold, you want to do, hey, I'd love to have you on this week. Can you do, you could do tonight, but, you know, we can do tomorrow night. You want to do tomorrow night? Harold said, no, Thursday is no good. Let's just do it and then hope that nothing insane happens. And, Harold, I think we can report that even though I texted you 12 hours ago, we've made it through this day and nothing heinous happened. And I feel pretty good about talking to you about the sports things that are happening because the world is not currently on fire.
You know, Josh, the best part about our conversations is it truly lives up to the title of your program, Almost Entirely Sports, almost to a T. Like, we're perfecting the art of this.
It's true, and I think today may be the sportsiest, just, you know, straight down the line conversation we have, because again, think today the protocols and whatnot worked, you know, the fences worked and everything sort of went according to the outline, and so we're not totally derailed today.
No, and it's funny you mentioned protocol, because I think I've said that word about 10, 12, 15 times today.
Yeah.
We're here. Yeah,
we are, and I think the reason I said protocol is because it just burrowed into my head at this point in a way that was totally accidental, but that is really where we're at right now. We've had, you know, we've spent the first hour of the show the last two nights literally just trying to make sense of, like, what's going on in Patrick Mahomes' head right now on a very literal level, and how are things unfolding this week, and how do we feel about being a full participant in practice and then a limited participant in practice, and all of these things all kind of colliding together. Again, no pun intended. But I'm curious how you have absorbed these last few days, the practice today, moving inside at the last minute, and then Mahomes is a full participant in the first injury report, and then they change it to mark it as limited. What you heard from Andy Reid and all of that, just as this day has been as weird as it gets in terms of trying to figure out if the MVP of the league is going to play in the AFC Championship game or not.
I mean, we're having a normal day. We're trying to play a good old normal American football game, and then, you know, things have just started to break loose. You know, I myself prided on trying to be like, all right, it's AFC Championship week. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to listen to the Sean McDermott's press conference. Seems like everything's okay in Buffalo. They're all systems go. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go get to this Chiefs practice. I'm going to get what we can get. And then we're at the gate, and we've been handed our credentials. And the next thing you know, they come out and say that they're moving it inside because of the wind. Mm-hmm. And so, granted, those wins. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting how we were kind of just standing there. I mean, you know, usually they do a pretty good job of, you know, trying to inform us, you know, hour in advance at the very latest that if anything changes, you know, so we don't, like, leave the station or leave house or whatever. But this was not the case. And, I mean, it was interesting, you know, like, I mean, you know how their setup is over there. I mean, like, you can see things. You're just not supposed to say you can see things. But mm-hmm. You can see things. Mm-hmm. And so you knew something was going on, and they just moved it inside, and I mean, that was the end of it. It was weird. I mean, you know, now I'm sure there's things that leaked out that they didn't want to leak out, mm-hmm. and you know, that's just part of the game. But you know, then they gave us footage later, and, you know, he's running around and he's doing his usual. Like, he, honestly, the footage they gave us is basically the same stuff we would have got anyway. Mm-hmm. So he's running around. He's fine. It's funny. Somebody texted me right before I got on. I was like, somebody that I'm probably sure is interested in what's going on in the Vegas world. He said, said, like, what do you think the percentage is of Mahomes play? I said 95%, maybe even higher, because it's not a real issue. My biggest thing is, and I might be answering your next question here, but I'll continue on. You know, my barber, it just happens to be an MMA guy. You know, he like is an amateur MMA fighter in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically telling me, like, he was like, oh, man, he got knocked out. I was like, yeah, like, he was like, yeah, he got, like, knocked out in one of those, like, little military veins right in the neck where people always, they always teach you to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocks you out. It staggers you. And I was like, I think that's exactly what happened. And if you see boxers 2 or 3 days after a fight, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're just a little emotionally, like, distraught that things went downhill the way they went downhill, but they're fine. And he has no real reason to be emotionally distraught because they won the game.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yay for Chad Henne. But at the same time, I think he's just down and out because he has to go through his stuff. He probably just learned what the protocol was, you know, Sunday.
Right.
And he thought he probably answered all the questions, and, you know, the reports are out that he missed one or two, and, yeah, he's probably just like, all right, let's just get this over with so I can just get back to playing. But he's fine. He's going to play. My only thing is, if he were to hit there again, then there's a real problem, because then you're talking about the nervous system, and nobody wants to mess around with the nervous system.
Right, that's the thing. And, I mean, there have been so many questions that I feel like, you know, I've tried to handle as best as I can and to take in stride and to try to give an educated guess in response to a lot of things. But the main thing that a lot of people have asked is like, okay, well, so is it a concussion? We're not really sure. If it's not a concussion, why is he in the protocol still? But the thing that we do know is that if you stand up from the football field after a awkward, weird, and especially in real time, fast, aggressive tackle, and you walk, you try to stand up and your knees buckle and your eyes are glassy and you're wobbly, He jogged into the locker room after that hit, and maybe he's every bit as fine as he's ever been right now. But the reason that we ask all of these questions and the answer to those questions is going to be the same thing, which is that he's in the concussion protocol because it looked like he had concussion-like symptoms. And if he clears all the protocol things by Sunday, everything will be hunky-dory. And if he doesn't, then we have a bigger issue on our hands. But, I mean, I do think on some level it does seem like this story is a decent example of all those protocols doing what they're supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's exactly, I think Andy Reid said it best when he said kind of takes it out of their hands, or the trainer's hands, because it's like, all right, you have to finish these 5 steps, or if not, sorry, if yes, great. And it takes it out of their hands, which is a good thing on the NFL's part. I mean, I will say from the NFL standpoint, it's probably one of the better things they've done. I mean, player safety is a long issue that could go for forever, but in this case, it's like, all right, they came up with like, all right, you got 5 steps, and you got to get through all 5 of these steps. And I think with the Chiefs kind of put the most football move of any video they could possibly find on Twitter account today, you could tell that I was like, all right, you know, he's at the 3 or the 4 stage. Now the 5 is an independent neurological specialist that comes in, a consultant that comes in that's independent of the club. They have to make sure they're good and probably go through some diagnostics or whatever. And all of a sudden, we're all sounding like doctors because we're saying words that have like 4 or 5 syllables.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, how hard is it to say independent neurological, you know, you that guy.
Yeah.
So, it should be fine. It's just, you know, he's just probably just like, let's just get through it. Let's just go and let's just play football. And I mean, prepare for a really good Buffalo team, because Chris Jones, I think, said, probably had one of the more kind of standout moments today when he said, they kind of remind me of the team that we were 2 years ago when we were just outscoring people. And which is funny, because that's exactly what the Bills look like. I mean,
yeah,
they were, but the end of the season, they were putting 52 up on Miami, I mean, 38 on, the Patriots. I mean, they were putting some hurtings on people. Now, the playoffs, I think that really just comes down to, now we know Indianapolis is playing, like, their lives depended upon it because, well, we saw it happen with Phillip Rivers, so I think they got a little emotional there and tried to play as hard as they could for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ravens, they didn't win it. They didn't go anywhere. I mean, they made, like, Lamar Jackson, who was an MVP last year, we seem to forget because of his level of performance, but they made him look like he should be anywhere near the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I point to Matt Milano, who is a guy that is, I mean, I found this stat really intriguing, and I asked Andy about it, because Matt Milano, with him in the lineup, they are 12-0, and they have held teams to 18.6 points per game. That's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's insane. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, whoa. Whoa, that stopped the count. Like, that is that is insane. No, like, you mean so they're 12-0 with this guy, and he's healthy?
Yeah.
18-6?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Man, I mean, that's the Titans right there.
Yeah. No, that's
Tennessee type. Yeah.
That is a great set that I had not heard yet. And it's funny because we've spent so much time trying to figure out concussion protocols and whatnot. There are three things now that I feel like I've become an expert at in the last like year or so. And it's the concussion protocols. It is guarantee mechanisms, and I'm very confident that I could diagnose someone else having, or I guess myself, having a sternoclavicular joint injury, because we learned about that with Tyreek Hill last year. I remember the intricacies of the phrase sternoclavicular joint and what that means. But that's, you know, that's being in sports media, I suppose. But anyway, you bring up that Bills stat. It's funny because we spent all this time talking about concussions and veins and necks and stuff that I can't even imagine any other circumstance in which we would spend so little time talking about a win that sends a team to the AFC Championship game. And then about the actual AFC Championship game itself, we've talked quite little about the Bills because not because they're not super interesting. They are. This whole week has just been so much about Patrick Mahomes at this point. So whenever you do look to the game itself, the fact that the Bills do have this offense that's just scoring constantly. They will not run the football, and I love them for that. Their defense is better off right now than it was whenever the Chiefs played them early in the year. So how are you feeling right now about all the stuff that's not Patrick Mahomes related?
Oh, man. I mean, you look at Josh Allen, to Stephon Diggs. I would say as of right now, out of all the combinations of receivers, I would put that probably a very strong third, right behind the Mahomes-Kelsey connection and the Rodgers-Devontae Adams connection. Mm. And it's a strong third that could go second.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, the Packers and Chiefs are just two very elite teams. The Bills are in a prove-it stage. That's really what it comes down to. This is a prove-it game for them. I think they're not quite Brown's house money, but they're pretty close. They just have better resources to do it. The offensive line is decent. We all know Mitch Morse is on that line, and you know, they got a decent line there. Their run game is not great, but again, they like to pass the ball, so what does it really matter? I mean, you know, this pass sets up the run type team, which we look at all four teams that are left, they're pass set up the run type teams anyway. I mean, the run game's great if you want to get to 11, 12 wins, but it's not good in the playoffs. It's been proven the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And then you look at their defense, and I mean, I told you about with Milano inserted there, but let's not forget about Tre'Varius White. I mean, Tyreek Hill says today that I'm going to win some battles, he's going to win some battles, I just hope to win the majority of the battle. And you look at that Week 6 game, similar conditions, you know, a little bit rainy, you know, under 50, typical Buffalo weather. And the Chiefs just pounded the ball on them, but we were talking so much about Patrick Mahomes, we're not talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And if he's good to go, he hasn't played in a month.
Yeah.
And let's not forget the fact that the number two choice at this point seems to be Darrell Williams.
Yep.
And, you know, Darrell had a great game. God bless him. I mean, he had 97 total yards of offense. But it's just, You look at the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he ran for 161 yards. The Chiefs outgained him 466 to 206 yards, I believe. It was a 9-point game because, you know, the Chiefs like to play nine. They don't want to win more than 10 points.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would tell you or anybody, like, when they were making their Browns predictions, I was like, why is everybody here predicting a score that would be Chiefs with a 10-point margin? Like,
yeah.
I mean, God bless my colleague Rob Collins, but he's over there like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 40 to 20. I'm like, in what world? Like,
yeah.
It's just going to be It has to be under 10 because that's what they do.
It's like, the rule at this point. It's not a Chiefs win if they win it by 14.
They decided the 2020-21 season is just, this is how we're going to win games.
Yep.
And I expect nothing less. It's just going to be another close game because that's the way it's going to be. And it's, this is just Allen, prime time. I mean, let's be real here. When we've seen Buffalo in prime time, we saw them beat the ghosts of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we also saw them get hammered by Tennessee. We also saw them get roughed up by Kansas City. In primetime games, they have not been their best.
Hmm.
Even last week, they were not at their best.
Mm-hmm.
They put up 10 points of offense last week. So they have not been at their best. And, you know, I hate to say this for the Buffalo's contingent, but, like, Kansas City's defense, we're seeing that late rise.
Yeah.
You know, when we saw that kind of slow, gradual rise that we kind of saw after the bye with the Raiders game and then a couple other games, it kind of slowly developed. We didn't see it in the regular season this year, but I think we started to see what this defense does is when they need to make stops, when it's most needed, they are there. They make stops. That was huge with the Cleveland game where you thought they had the momentum, and then they quickly get that fourth down, but then they go three and out after that. And put pressure on. Spagnuolo has dialed the blitz about as brilliantly as possible when it's needed the most. I believe their blitz rate right now, when they do blitz, it's like eighth or ninth of the league in terms of, you know, getting the job done there. At a 39% rate, I believe. I might be a little off on the numbers a little bit, but I know they're like top 10 of the league. And it works. Like, he dials it up brilliantly.
Yeah.
Now, does Brian Dable does he as an offensive coordinator know when they bring those blitzes and have Josh Allen have a perfect route? Who knows? You know, what do we look at with the secondary? We know about Stephon Diggs, but what about John Brown? What about some of their other receivers? You got a Pittsburgh State guy there that would love to have a great game back nearby his home campus. So, yeah, I mean, those are a good team, but I think this is just a matter of, like, one team just knows how to win. And the other team wants to win.
Yeah.
And you always go to a team that just knows how to win.
Well, and so you mentioned all the blitzing and everything. And I would have to do a little bit more digging, I guess, to get all this exactly right. But it seems like Spags is at least most excited and most likely to blitz whenever it's a younger quarterback that he can try to show some new things to. Like, that's such a huge part of making a blitz be effective. It's one of the reasons that I think we talk so much about Patrick Mahomes against the blitz, and rightfully so, because it's something he's not supposed to be that good at yet. You know, like, he's ahead of schedule in terms of the pre-snap reads and then the post-snap actions that come with them. But if Josh Allen is even just still, if there are a couple of pockets where Spags says, all right, I'm going to send L'Jarius Sneed on this one, and he's not going to see this coming, or it's going to be him and Tyrann Mathieu both coming from the same side or whatever, and we're going to try to give him a different look and try to rush his decision-making process. I really like Josh Allen. I've bought into a lot of what he's shown this year, but I also feel like they can manufacture some forced mistakes for Allen at some point during this game.
For sure. It's just that turnover that just comes, and you're just like, then you next know, you know, you just get the surrender cobra hands on top of the helmet, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, I didn't see the linebacker over the middle. It's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That's on Anthony Hitchens, and, you know, like, I think he's, you know, a key cog there in the defense. But you mentioned L'Jarius Sneed, and I don't know if they go through, like, if they're going to try to just stay with Sneed or stay with Ward and say, all right, you got Diggs, and we'll try to handle everybody else. Don't forget about Dawson Knox. I mean, he's become a decent option, too. I mean, he's not nearly to the length of the level of Travis Kelce, but he's become a darn viable option as a tight end. And do you go with Sneed? Do you go with Ward? Do you want to bring Sneed up that corner blitz? We've seen Matthew come off the safety blitz. And I still think they've got some bullets in their pocket still.
Yeah.
Like, they still haven't put out the full repertoire yet. Because, like, even when Chad Henne came in, it was like, okay, well, they're going to have to go balls to the wall here, and with the exception of one essentially punt as an interception, I mean, he was 6 of 8 for 66 yards. I mean, it was still, like, they're still pretty accurate with it. And you know, I'm kind of all over the place for both sides, but I'll go back to the defense and focus on that. I'm curious to see if they just stick with Snead or do they go with Ward. What about Rashawn Breeland in his condition with the concussion? You'd imagine he's on the same kind of plateau trying to get to the five steps like Patrick Mahomes is. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you miss out on him, that's huge. You got Rashad Fenton, who hasn't played in a little while. He has to step up. So you're in a position now, like, wow, we're really in an area where they got to rely on Legarius.
Yeah.
and not forget the fact that he's a rookie. I mean,
yeah.
The old adage is you're not really a rookie anymore when you play pretty much a full regular season. But still, I mean, he's a rookie. This is the biggest football moment of his life. And where do you go from there? So, yeah, I mean, it's I'm not as big on this being a high scoring game. I just don't think Buffalo likes playing high score games, and I don't think the Chiefs this year have liked to play high scoring games. They just kind of they put up the number they need to put up. Kind of like the Saints game where it ended up being 32-29, but at the same time, you know, they also have, like what we saw with the Browns, or what we saw with the Falcons. They're just, we're going to beat you. That just, we don't know, we are going to make the play to beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be surprised if this comes down to like a 4th and 8 that Mahomes converts, and we're talking about that for the next couple years when they're down by 3 in the fourth quarter. Like, just... And like, oh, but there's just so much confidence rooting for them. You can tell it's like there's a good arrogance about them. Like wow, you're real arrogant. You like this game's beneath you. I couldn't envision the Chiefs fan 2 years ago saying, "Oh God, this game's beneath me." Like, I was like, the AFC Championship again. It's all happening. You know, you and I both know the great Nate Taylor, and. He was sitting there during Browns week basically saying, like, it doesn't really feel like a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice. The Browns are coming here. It's a nice story. Like, we haven't even hit the good storylines yet. Like,
yep.
I've watched NFL Live on ESPN, and they're like, yeah, we'll talk about the Chiefs when we get to the Super Bowl. Like, we'll talk about the development of all their players. It's like, no, it's like, we're just dismissing a game where two of the top four teams in NFL are in.
Right.
It's not a weird feeling, but it's just like the – should this be the feeling that we should not be having? This is not the feeling we should be having.
It's an extremely weird feeling for Chiefs fans specifically, to your point, that, like, imagine telling a Chiefs fan 3 years ago or 4 years ago that you were going to have your third consecutive AFC Championship game and that it was going to come after a game that didn't really feel like a playoff game until Patrick Mahomes was out of it, by the way, and then it did, but it didn't really before that, and that the AFC Championship game itself is not... I don't want to say that anyone's, like, overlooking it or anything, so I don't think that's true, but it does feel like this is where they were supposed to get to minimum. Like, if they lose this game, that's going to be a disappointing season. I think if they get to the Super Bowl and lose it, it's just a season, right? If they get to the Super Bowl and win it, it's a great accomplishment. But if they don't end up playing in the Super Bowl, a really tough thing to do for anybody, it's gonna feel like they let a little bit of air out of the balloon before the season ended, which is absolutely bonkers. But it's true. It's undeniably true.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, you start the whole run it back tour.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, let's run it back. So that is you establish the standard. You know, when you talk dynasty at the beginning of the season, when Chris Jones is, you know, chilling out at the home after a nice contract extension, talking about dynasty, and Patrick Mahomes is chilling at home saying, all right, I want to win 3, 4, 5. I mean, we're literally looking at LeBron's heels, if you will, where he's not 1, not 2, not 3. I mean, it honestly is like an NBA team that knows they're going to make the top 8, like your Golden States back when they're big, or the Lakers now. It's literally a team that's just like, let's just get to the playoffs, and then we'll get there. But, like, I don't know if I should be concerned if it's like, oh, let's just get to the AFC Champions, let's just get to the Super Bowl, and then we'll turn it on. Like, or should it be like, this is just who you are? Because there's been... The evidence has been, so it's like a bad 7th grade science experiment that you're like, okay, I've got my hypotenuse, I got my hypothesis, and I got my experiment, but like the 3 trials I had, like one's just completely off from the other two. And that seems to be their season. Like, you know, as much as you have a quality, great 32-29 win over the Saints or 27-24 win over the Bucks, then you follow it up with a 17-14 over the Falcons. Or as bad as you beat the Broncos, and you come home and you barely beat them. Like, it's just, it's wishy-washy. And again, like, these things are hard. Like, you know, like, NFL victories are hard. Like, they're commodities. And, you know, we are now all of a sudden, even in media, we're kind of like, all right, well, you know, like, what do we pick on today? We're like, well, close scores was the first one. Or, like, then it becomes something else. Like, this team could be 16-17-0 right now, and we'd still be like, well, I think this is wrong. Like, but you got to find something, you know, because they're chasing perfection.
Yeah.
Chasing perfection is the hardest thing you can do. But, and when you really think about it, I mean, they're 14-2, and one of the losses is to a team they beat it. They beat later in the season, and the other one was backups. I mean, they've not lost to an individual opponent that they played. So it's just, yeah, it's interesting. I definitely agree with you. It's interesting that we're sitting here on Sunday primetime game, whole world watching, and we're sitting here like, oh, it's the Bills. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Good story. Like, it's like a story.
There's the stat that I've said 1,000 times. I'm sure everyone's said 1,000 times, but, you know, I've gotten my share of it. The Patriots never hosted 3 straight AFC championship games. The only team to ever do it was Andy Reid's Eagles in the NFC. I mean, that's insane. Like, just as a stat, it's unbelievable. But the Chiefs in 3 years of Mahomes have now done something that the Patriots never did. As the most dynastic thing we've ever seen within this same or at least very similar recent era, where there's so much turnover and all that. But Ed Rudy mentioned this a couple of nights ago. You know, that Tom Brady has played in a jillion, I think around now in 14 conference championship games, and he was doing it in a conference that also had Peyton Manning for the most part. Like, just and then those Roethlisberger Steelers, the sheer amount of greatness that has been in the NFL at various points, to see the Chiefs so quickly end up in that spot where they're setting their own records, and there's this feeling of like, of expectation that they're going to be in AFC championship games. And then, by the way, people who are rooting against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes went from being the best underdog little guy, little engine that could story, nobody believed in us story in football. And 2 years later, everyone is sick of them. That happened so fast.
Oh, well, I mean, one, the ESPN machine is at its best. Let's just get it wrong. I mean, look at college football right now. Look at the team that he's winning, which is Alabama. Mm-hmm. And look at the rating for the college football national championship, which is like the lowest in like 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's a Mahomes fatigue nationally. There is. I mean, there is. I mean, you're not going to see it here in Chiefs Kingdom world, but there is a thing. You know, when you have people from Atlanta text me, when I have people from San Francisco text me, Washington, D.C. texts me, and they're just like, oh, man, I got to go with the Bills on this one. I got it, because it's like, yeah, I just don't think the Chiefs are going to win, because they just kind of want to see them lose.
Yeah.
And it's happening. I mean, and again, you know, I sit there and like, look, I'm just going to kind of be like the team. It's like, it's very arrogant. But it's a confident arrogance. It's not like it's earned arrogance.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this world of social media now, like, you can get tired of some things quick, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we forget sometimes, like, you know, like, we're going to be in 2023, and you're going to be like, wow, the pandemic seemed like 15 years ago, but it was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of how our world revolves right now.
Yeah.
And it's a very much what have you done for me lately world. And I mean, I guess we're just tired of seeing the Patriots dominate for so long and still win, you know, and now we're just like, all right, they don't want another team that's going to be, oh, gosh, here comes the team of the 2000s. I mean,
yeah.
The Chiefs clearly have the opportunity to be the team of the 2020s.
Yeah.
I mean, they just clearly do. Especially if they win this one, I think they're one or two more away from being the team of 2020. The 2020s, and then, you know, like every in the NFL, you know, you look at the 70s with the Steelers, 80s with the 49ers, 90s with the Cowboys. I mean, the 2000s, you could say, was the Patriots mixed in with a little bit of Colts, and the 2010s was clearly the Patriots. It's just, you know, that's just how the NFL works. Like, I think we're looking at that, and everybody's like, oh no, here comes another dynasty. Here comes another team that we have to hate, and then 31 other franchises are like, okay, WTF. And it's like, and it's the Mahomes guy, and it's,
yeah.
you know, it's the hair, it's the branding, it's the, you know, the real good guy that does everything right. You can't hate him, you know, and, you know, like sometimes if you can't hate a person, that makes you do what? Hate a person.
Hate him more. Absolutely.
Yeah, hate him more.
Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid might be the least hateable head coach quarterback duo that, like, you could engineer in a lab.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I grew up, and, you know, I'm not on the bashes. I mean, I grew up being an Eagles fan, so I grew up watching Andy Reid. You know, it's like, come on, man, win one, win one, win one. You know, I'm still the guy that sits here to this day and says McNabb should have thrown to Terrell Owens 29 times. they had no answer for him. It's like, you just throw to him. One, two, three, throw. Like, but, it's, you know, cheer for him. And I'm like, I'm glad Andy's got it. I really am. But, yeah, I mean, that's it. If you want to be the best, be the best.
Yep.
And right now, we're seeing suitors, potential suitors. You know, like, this is The Bachelor or something. We're seeing potentials. Like, Baker Mayfield was a potential suitor. Josh Allen is a potential suitor. The only team that, and again, I've said this, the only team that I think could really eye-to-eye look at each other and be like, okay, we can beat you is the Packers.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, okay, you're great. I'm great, too.
Yeah.
And I got a good receiver. And I got another couple of receivers that you can't pronounce half their names. Like, Equimini is St. Croix and the Valdez Spaulding, like, you know, and then Alan Lazard, who, I mean, I watched him in the Big 12 at Iowa State, and I was like, how did this kid go undrafted? He was pretty beast at Iowa State. So, I mean, that's the only team I can ever see to myself, like, and I think Tanyan is just the beneficiary of a great quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, and it's a pretty good tight end. So, and of course, their offensive line is, you know, PFF has them 1-2, along with the Browns, so. Yeah, I mean, but the Chiefs, they just keep beating these teams that we keep feeding at them that are number one in a certain statistic that's supposed to be a weakness for the Chiefs, and what do? They just shore it up.
Yeah.
And this is what they do. And, it's fascinating to watch. It's great to watch, but at the same time, I can understand why other teams are just like, oh, gosh, enough of this.
Right, not again. It's a blast. All of this week has been weird but fun so far, and I can't wait for both of these games, because you mentioned the Packers and everything. Every one of the potential Super Bowl matchups I think would be great. Obviously, it would the tenor around here would change very, very much depending on if the Chiefs are in it or not. But both NFC teams are fun. Both of these AFC teams are fun. I'm excited to see it, and I'm ready to get there. Harold, thank you very much for making some time for us tonight, and enjoy all the action this weekend, and continuing to learn more about the receivers on the Packers' names, and also concussion protocol things.
Yeah, I was about to call him Exxon Valdez for a second, which I knew was incorrect, but this is the first thing that came to mind.
If a Packers fan custom ordered that jersey, I would be very happy for that. I think that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks, Harold. We'll talk to you again soon. I appreciate it.
All right.
Harold Kuntz of Fox 4. You can follow him on Twitter at Harold R. Kuntz 3. Check out everything that he does up on Fox 4 here in Kansas City. And yeah, there's just so much great coverage of all sorts. Everything going on right now around Kansas City. Just an unbelievable wealth of analysis and coverage. And happy to be a part of it. Happy to have Harold be a part of it as well. We need to take a break. Whenever we come back, we will go from happiness to dwelling in sadness, the sadness of others. Sad Fans on Reddit is next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a comment very quickly.
Fifth overall pick by the Suns.
From Beards, is that comment from the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page where you can watch this show every night?
No, it's from the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page, which you should like, because then you'll see all our stuff.
Yeah, we share
this
stuff from Austin.
Was one of the few high draft picks they drafted that never worked out. Unlike
Reddit!
The Belichick.
Austin says, double dose of sad fans on Reddit next at 8. Doesn't play the first one until 8:15. Talks about Ice Age 2 and Beards playing tennis. 8:30, and still haven't gotten to second sad fans. This entire hour is so on brand for the show, and I love every single minute of it.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
I'm pretty sure you played this one already, Rudy.
I'm confident.
The only one I know you haven't played yet is the good one. Which I'm thinking maybe that should be how we end shows now, because we can't use the Drake music anymore. The good one. You know the good one.
What's the good one?
The good one. The good one that's like the vibe. You know the good vibe one?
Oh, is it the Space Adventure one?
I don't know. It's the good one.
Oh, give me a second.
No. Save it. That's use that for the bump music at the end of the show. You figure out if you can find the good one or not. If you can't, you know, we'll just end the show on the, you know, wrong note. Yeah, this one. That might be maybe that's our show, our last segment music from this point forward.
So that's like, last segment, not the end of the end of the show. Show.
I'm gonna say a word. Coyote Prime on Twitch has asked. He thinks I say a word strangely. I'm gonna say it. Don't. I need you to gauge this for me. Sad fans coming here in moments. Coyote Prime says, "Does Josh say EVERYWHERE weird, or is it me?"
I mean, I haven't noticed.
I think
but
it
I might
probably
just be used to it.
I also think there's some words that I think I say strangely in certain contexts. Because I could definitely see myself saying, like, everywhere, which I think probably sounds right, or saying, really, like, hitting the H, everywhere. I don't know. I don't know why everywhere. I can say everywhere.
I mean, it sounds normal.
Everywhere?
Man.
Everywhere. You can watch the show everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's what I would say. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Do I put too much emphasis on the first syllable, maybe?
Everywhere.
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 You can watch the show everywhere on Sports Radio 810's Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels. You can leave comments also and tell me that I say words strangely. If you left a comment on all three threads, you'd be leaving your comments everywhere.
This isn't a woof. I guess it is a woof.
What?
Ryan, office, the woof. It goes everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You send a message and it goes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We basically have a wolf over here.
Send in your faxes.
I don't know if you guys noticed this because we didn't have the Monday night show because we had the KU game Monday night. And what was that? Was that Rudy?
We really need to get to Sad Fans.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it. Let's do that now. We didn't have a show Monday night. So, and then it was all about Patrick Mahomes' head anyway, so we barely talked at all about the fact that the Chiefs did beat the Cleveland Browns. Beards is not here, COVID reserve list, but he did make Sad Fans on Reddit, playoff edition, Cleveland Browns edition.
And now, a list of things that Cleveland Browns fans said on Reddit after losing to Chad Henne. Defense, yikes. Well, we aren't gonna stop them. Jim Nance is absolutely off the Chiefs. Comment. KC players can just make our players miss tackles so easily. Reply. Well, it's not that impressive because any team can. God and the NFL hate the Cleveland Browns. KC gets no calls. Couldn't make it more obvious the NFL wants their golden poster boy child Mahomes to win at all and any cost. This man. Well, the past week was nice. I'm already sick of the third down purge siren. This is the game plan. Long sustained drives on offense. Oh, Kevin, you sly fox. Just gotta score and kick the extra point. Edit. I stand corrected. Already have as many points as the Ravens scored last night. So there's that. Kansas City should lose just as payback for PM's annoying State Farm commercials. Ha ha ha, this defense is a bunch of losers. Pain. Agony, even. Someone told me there was supposed to be rust. Mecole Hardman? We can't even tackle Mecole Hardman. Can someone tell Joe Woods we're not ahead so we don't need to play prevent? 100% panic mode. Why are they showing Bama Ohio State again? Apparently the Chiefs are pretty good. RD really is Garbo. KC is the douche machine. I don't know why I hate Kelsey so much. All I can think of is that he still looks like he goes to high school parties. Unbelievable. Left parentheses, right parentheses, pound sign, yen sign, tilde, exclamation point, less than sign, apostrophe, DVI. It's 2nd and 19 and they gave a touchdown. Emoji that has censored itself and is cursing. Andy Reid looks like Snuffleupagus with that mask on. Chubb, baby, please. Why aren't y'all running the ball more? Give Baker the weapons Mahomes has, and he's a Super Bowl-winning QB, too. Comment. What exactly is the defensive game plan here? Reply. Pucker your a**hole and hope for a turnover. Does Romo know that children watch Chiefs games? He shouldn't be overrated Mahomes like this on national TV. I've been dreading watching Pat do this to our defense for weeks. If Mahomes doesn't play the second half and we win, I might just have a foot fetish origin story. This game is so fixed and it's so obvious. We are cursed. Pain. That's the biggest oof. F me. Wow, that hurts. Of course it's not reviewable. It would help us. Of course the ducking Chiefs get away with targeting. The golden boys of the league. I feel like I just got tackled by James Harrison. Baker potentially losing an opportunity at a championship thanks to the defense and stupid sh**. I must be living in 2017. Only the Browns would trigger the dumbest rule in the game while the refs miss a targeting call. I don't like liking sports. It's clear to me that there are two very powerful forces in the universe that hate Cleveland and have a vendetta against it. One is God, and the other is NFL officiating crews. Refs big dumb. I can't watch.
They're going to melt down whenever Chad Henne ends
their
season.
Well, Parkey is not doing the Butker, so take that, Chiefs.
Oh, man.
Comment. Woods, don't f*** this opportunity up. Reply. He f***ed it up. No Mahomes, secondary still butter. Comment from a Falcons fan. Why does every Browns game I watch feel like a Falcons game? I guess I really do have an honorary second team.
That's
like I said before,
hurtful.
If we can't stop Henny, we don't deserve to win.
Oh, man.
I have 911 readied in my phone for these last 4 minutes. Leave Joe Woods and Casey. I feel like someone should cover Tyreek Hill, but I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator. Very, very Browns of an ending there.
Mm.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
They let Chad Henne beat them. Wow. Pain. So much pain. Prevent defense prevents victories. That 3rd-and-18 call was lazy. I don't want to hear the words Joe Woods again
14?
Unless in a sentence with fired.
Whatever, it's fine. You're
oh
stressed
my
out.
F- Eat my Tony Romo. Jesus, the CBS announcers just everyone here. We can win this. Believe land. Stop him on third down. Joe Woods.
How is that not the
How
winner?
How about no? And now, one loser.
This winner better be
of
good.
Of things that Brown fans said on Reddit.
One loser.
Comment from the Browns Reddit's mod. Guys, this is disgusting behavior. What the hell is wrong with you guys saying we need to murder players and refs?
What?
Be better. Zero tolerance.
Who said that?
What?
Why weren't they thinking?
And now, the bronze medal.
Kill refs.
Of things that Browns fans said on Reddit.
Did he say the bronze medal?
I think it's how I let the Browns go. I'm not even dating my ex from Ohio anymore. I don't see the point. Both broke my heart.
That's
and
bad.
Now, the silver medal. Comment. There's always next year. Reply. Not with Mahomes around.
Yes!
Response. True. And now, the winner of things that Browns fans said on Reddit. Here comes this 13-year-old ketchup bitch again.
What? That was the winner?
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Oh, good. And it's just ended. Just, and the music just ended.
Just abrupt ending.
New Year, same beards. You tweet at Bears McFly. Tell him your favorite one. Tell him you liked it. Give him some validation. Yeah, I know we need to take a break, Rudy. I know!
Let's take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Rudy, number two.
The great, the legend, Cool Joe Montana.
That's what they called him. Cool Joe.
Cool Joe.
Cool Joe Montana.
Montana.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You did play this one earlier, Rudy. Just so you did play this one.
I mean, technically, yes, but it was to, like, be like, hey, this is the one you want,
you
right?
You played this one already, though.
I forget. There's just the names blend in. So many of the names on these songs are the same.
You want a stat line? How do you feel about a stat line, a sports stat line?
I love stat lines. I started talking before I turned on my mic, and now I don't know why.
That's all right. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because I got a sports stat line for you.
Stat lines.
24 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks. Dominating.
I was going to say Nikola Jokic, but that's too bad of a line for the best center in the NBA.
DeAndre Ayton, justified number one overall pick. Better than Luka.
He had a triple-double tonight.
Better than Jokic.
I don't know about that.
Better than anybody the Celtics have.
Luka, well, that's just, you can't argue that.
MVP candidate DeAndre Ayton.
Nikola Jokic leads the NBA in assists, and Luka Doncic had his 30th career triple-double tonight. And DeAndre Ayton's a god.
Better than
them
both.
One night.
Better than both of them combined.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a little, well, you know.
The Suns beat? Suns beat the Rockets, who have. Never mind.
John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
John Wall and Boogie.
I don't think John Wall's playing.
Actually, I saw a picture. Maybe, I don't know.
He might be. Boogie's playing.
There's still 4 minutes left in the game. Ayton could get 5 more blocks.
True.
He could get a quadruple-double with 7 assists and 5 more blocks.
It's possible.
Quadruple-double!
Bet your money on it.
I hope they don't lose this game. That'd be really, it'd be really disappointing if I did all this hype and they end up losing this game in the last 4 minutes.
I'd be so sad if that happened too.
They're up by 9 right now, which is not exactly locked up. I just saw the Suns' Twitter account tweet the stat line. I figured it was over. I'm worried maybe it's not.
The Kentucky Twitter account tonight just simply tweeted out one word. Brutal.
Oh, fadoof. Thanks, everybody who's listened over the course of the show tonight. Thanks to Tom Martin and Harold Kuntz. Shout out to Swaggy Sig on Twitch, because Twitch usernames are the best. So anyone else remember watching Josh do quote-unquote radio shows in his parents' house? Crazy how far you've gotten. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. They kicked me out, so I had to get a job. And now I do this. Bye, Mom!